It's becoming a thing at stores.
More businesses are using February to spotlight their products' diversity and the creativity of African Americans. Target's Black History Month products include kids' t-shirts with pictures of things invented by African Americans, like the traffic light, the long-lasting carbon filament light bulb, and the ice cream cone. Michael's, the arts and crafts chain, featured Black Heritage products that were so popular, Michael's plans to sell them year-round. As one market researcher says, if you're only showing up once a year, Black consumers will easily see through this and consider you disingenuous. I'm Evan Haining.
The man who created Trader Joe's markets has died. Joe Colombe opened his first market in Pasadena, California in 1967. Trader Joe's now has more than 500 stores in over 40 states. Joe died yesterday. He was 89. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Guys, breakfast.
How do you do it?
The kids or everything else?
Hey, are those...
new phones? Got two truly unlimited lines from Walmart Family Mobile. Tea's ready. With no contract. Pass the toast. Makes me feel like I'm a step ahead.
You are amazing.
And your boss is calling.
Get two truly unlimited lines with 10 gigabyte hotspot per line for under $75 a month. Powered by T-Mobile. Walmart Family Mobile. Stay a step ahead. Video typically streams at DVD quality. See terms and conditions at myfamilymobile.com. Available at Walmart.
Now exclusively at the Home Depot. Give your lawn a 1-2 punch with a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and save 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Pick up both bags. Apply Triple Action now to knock out tough weeds and Ultra Feed 8 weeks later to green and feed all season. Two bags. One stronger, greener lawn. With a 1-2 punch, Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Boss Buy's last selection varies by store.
ABC News is sponsored by Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 513 3rd Street Southeast in Huron, specializing in mobile glass replacement, windshield and door glass replacement, free pickup and delivery. Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 352-0836.
Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 41. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 28, highs around 41. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm Monday, with daytime highs approaching 37. 42 Tuesday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 28.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. A busy Friday as we are just about finished up with everything regular season in South Dakota. State Wrestling Tournament had its second day. Huron Tigers will place two at the Class A Tournament, and junior Tyson Lane has a chance to bring a state title home to Huron. Lane will wrestle for the 170-pound championship today. Lean defeated Sam Strope of Watertown 7-2 in a third-period tiebreaker to get the win, so it wasn't easy, but he makes the championship. He will wrestle Caleb Brink from Rapid City Stevens for the title tonight. Lean will come in with a record of 33-7. Brink, a record of 45-9. As near as I can tell, the two wrestlers did not meet during the regular season. Blake Larson will be Huron's other place winner after a major decision in the second round wrestlebacks yesterday. He can still finish as high as third today. Colt Dunkelberger at 113, Will Radke at 120, and Lucas Hofer at 145 were eliminated in the first round wrestlebacks, while Moses Gross at 106, Tristan Cardona at 220, and Sebastian Cardona at heavyweight were knocked out in the second round wrestlebacks. Wessington Springs Woonsocket at Woolsey. Wessington saw Keegan Hyder reach the semifinals, but he lost at 138. Quentin Christensen won his second-round wrestle back at 220. Both wrestlers can still finish as high as third today. As far as the team standings go, Class A, Brandon Valley has a slim lead over Rapid City Stevens. Looks like those two will battle it for the team championship. Brandon Valley 130, Rapid City Stevens 128. Then a drop off as Watertown's third at 98.5. Huron with 34 points sits in 18th place. In Class B, Canton is running away with it. They're first at 199.5. Winner second at 138, and there's quite a bit of separation between winner and second and the rest of the field. The state dual tournaments came to their wrap-up last night. In Class A semifinals, Watertown defeated Pierre 35-21. Stevens topped Harrisburg 40-28. Third place, Pierre defeated Harrisburg 35-30. And in the championship, Stevens defeated Watertown 37-25. In the Class B semifinals, winner defeated Redfield 52-21. In Canton, top Kimball, White Lake, Platte, Geddes, 43-27. Third place, Kimball, White Lake, Platte, Geddes, 51, Redfield, 16. And for the championship, Canton defeated winner, 49-23. We moved to basketball. Was a packed Huron Arena last night as the Tigers closed out the regular season hosting Watertown. Another impressive performance from the Huron girls. As they pounded Watertown 82-50, Huron was 14-29 on threes. Haven Hines, 26 points. Bella Shreve, Tinley Budenhagen, 16 each. Heaven Ganey added 11 as Huron finishes the regular season at 10-10. In the boys' game, Huron built a big first-half lead and then just kept Watertown at bay in the second half to win 65-47. With the win, Huron is the 2020 ESD champions. 18th time in school history, Huron has won the boys' ESD title. Kobe Bush, 21 points. Tegan Evers, 13. Cooper Freiberger and Nathan Bourne's 11 apiece. Huron finishes out the regular season at 16-4. So next up, of course, is the Sodak 16. Who and where? Well, we know the where for the boys for sure. Girls, everything's up in the air right now. Huron still has a chance, it looks like mathematically, to host a game in the first round next Friday. They'll probably need some help in games still to be played today. Huron, if we're doing the arithmetic right, should be able to hang on to that second seed and definitely will host next Saturday. But there's still games today and even a couple out west on Monday. We might have to wait that out before we find out the official matchups. Other scores in basketball last night. Area boys, Highmore Herald drilled Miller 74-48. Iroquois Dolan 52, Sunshine Bible 40. Northwestern defeated Hitchcock Tulare 66-41. Sanborn Central Woonsocket at 43, Wessington Springs 29. For the Blackhawks, Noah Dixon 27 points and 21 rebounds. Double A scores, girls, Mitchell defeated Aberdeen 52-44, Brandon Valley 65, Douglas 46, and St. Thomas More defeated Yankton 51-39. Boys double A, Yankton, in front of a packed house at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center, edged St. Thomas More 46-42. Battle of number one teams in double A and A. Brandon Valley boys defeated Douglas 58-38. And Lincoln defeated Harrisburg 62-60, Aberdeen 66, Mitchell 47. Finally, in hockey, Huron boys yesterday in Sioux Falls lost 4-3 as the Flyers scored 3 goals in the second period. Lucas Snyder, a pair of goals for Huron. Isaiah Phillips added a goal as well. So now we move on to today. As far as a local competition, we just have two events. State wrestling will wrap up today in Sioux Falls. As I said, Huron Tigers will place two with Tyson Lean going for a 170-pound title tomorrow or tonight. Also, there's hockey. Huron at Sioux Falls playing the other Sioux Falls team today. With that, just a few announcements we do want to pass along here. There will be a parent meeting for boys tennis on Monday beginning at 5:15 in the middle school commons. Meeting is for parents of boys grade 6 through 12 who are interested in playing tennis this spring. Tiger Roar Booster Club will have their postseason potluck for Tiger Wrestling on a Tuesday night beginning at 6 o'clock at the Huron High School commons. It is open to the public. And the District 5 Umpire Clinic will be held on Saturday, March 14th, 9:30 a.m. at Huron High School, room B104. The clinic is for all returning umpires who wish to be certified, as well as anyone interested in becoming a certified umpire. And they do need more umpires in the area. If you're new and would like to try it out, this will be your opportunity to learn more. For more information, contact Mike Sarda here in Huron at 350-0888. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk Huron Tiger basketball with girls coach Tim Budenhagen and boys coach John Scouten. A little bit on the Minnesota Twins as they're working their way through spring training. That'll be Dakota Sports Saturday coming up this morning at about 8:15. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy. An overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
The Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Count it down, the final second here for the Huron Tigers. For the 18th time, the ESD Boys Basketball Championship is coming back to the Huron Arena. The final score, Huron 65, Watertown 47.
Your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And it is 8:15, and yes, the Huron Tiger boys basketball team, the ESB Conference champs, with the win last night over Watertown, 65-47. First off, congratulations, head coach John Scouten, you and the boys. Boy, there's a few bumps in the road. There always is during a long season, but, this was a goal that everybody set out for, I'm sure, at the beginning of the season. Here it is on Leap Day.
Yeah. All the credit goes to our guys. They're the ones that put in all the time and the hard work and the effort and the blood and the sweat and all that stuff. So, shout out to our guys, and not just 1 through 8. It's 1 through however many we got in our program, and we got 20 kids at practice and the coaching staff. So all these guys together, all their hard work paid off. And like you said, it's a goal at the start of the year for probably about every team. Because generally, if you're competitive in the ESD, that's going to translate and you're going to be competitive on the state level, statewide. And so it's a good goal. It's one of those things you get to play for. It gives something to kind of validate all that work that you've been putting in. Couldn't be happier and more proud of our guys for that. And they're enjoying it. But now it's time to get to work.
You look back at last night, and we had kind of a sluggish start offensively and really did not hit the threes very consistently, maybe a bit there towards the end of the game, but we had to find different ways, and once we saw we could exploit a few matchups inside. Watertown just not very big, but they make up for it with some quickness, and they're a team that needs to get hot on offense, basically, but once we started attacking the basket a little more, and that just kind of opened up the floor a little more.
It was a bit of a slow start, but again, you got to credit that to Watertown. They came out and they were aggressive defensively. Their quickness is something that we haven't seen necessarily at all five positions here for a while. And they do a nice job of playing out, sharing the ball and guarding and defending, making things difficult. And so, Tuesday night, that's kind of an effect from Tuesday night when we go 14 of 28 from the threes. Now everyone thinks, now we're really rolling. We're going to shoot them all up there and half of them are going to go in. Rather than stick to the game plan, work it around, get the ball moving side to side, attack gaps, use our size advantage, which is maybe the first time all year we've had a size advantage. But again, you know, got off to a bit slow start, but kids picked it up halfway in that second quarter, got the lead. I thought, you know, again, we talked about it last night with Landon Higg. You know, he decided to attack and be aggressive to the rim and kind of set that mentality that way. And so from that point on, you know, I thought the offense improved throughout the night and we were able to do enough to get the win.
You know, defensively, we did some good things. I thought that Watertown was getting some good looks in the first half. They weren't afraid to penetrate and either kick out or go to the basket. But when they went to the basket, we still were able to affect shots. We made them change shots. What looked like pretty decent looks for them ended up going off the rim because they were either thinking about shooting over us or actually trying to shoot over us. So I thought we protected the rim well. And as I said, Watertown's a team that needed to drop some threes in order to have a competitive game, and I just thought we took all those things away from them, especially in the first half.
Right, and for us, the especially early the first quarter, we wanted to make sure that outside three was taken care of, and because if they get hot, then they're that much more dangerous because they are quick. They do get to the rim so well, and so again, we have length. We had guys that we were crowding. We wanted to be right next to them, almost in their shorts kind of a deal. And we had other guys that were, arm's length away, hand up, make them shoot over us. And so the bottom line is at this point in the year, you got to take away all the shooters like that. Every team you play is going to have multiple ones. And so for our kids, they responded to that. I thought they did. They took the challenge early, only gave up 4 points that first quarter and five the second. And Watertown missed some layups too, but where we're not 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", in their blocking shots, we are long and athletic and can jump, and so we got in there and were able to get a few blocks and alter some shots to make it a little tougher on them that first half.
I know it was a question mark going into the game Tuesday against Harrisburg after the big weekend last weekend with the wins over O'Gorman and then Yankton. Are we going to be complacent? Those were two high-octane games, but again, the boys came out, took care of business, shot the three wells, you said, Tuesday against Harrisburg, and we win by 40 or whatever it was. And then a Watertown team that just was such a deceiving team. That had to be hard to prepare for because I always say with Huron Tiger Volleyball, we're the double-A team that doesn't look like a double-A team. Watertown boys were a double-A team that does not look like a double-A team.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. They're traditionally, you look across the board, you look across the landscape, not many teams are 6'3 and shorter. But those kids, that's the hand they're dealt right now. And Coach Weavick did a great job with them. He's got them prepared. He's got them ready to play the right, the style that they need to play to be successful. And you can't do anything more than that. You can't coach those guys to be 6'10". Those kids flat out, they play hard. They play together. And they made a run that second half, got it to 10 or 12 on us. And, again, I think our kids kind of got up big and just kind of coasted for a while. And, they're high school kids and it's going to happen. And, again, you go back to the experience of them all and you're able to call a timeout and guys refocus. This thing's not over. They're making their run, all this and that. They're 6-1 in the ESD for a reason as well. And so, for our guys, they responded to the challenge. And, again, couldn't be more proud of them.
Now, as we look ahead, you know the where, you just don't know the when at this point or the who at this point for next Friday or Saturday with the SODAC 16. The girls don't know the where or when or the who at this point. I think Coach Kaufman's been doing most of the breakdowns here of what could happen. You still got a couple games today, a couple of games on Monday. I suppose you're mainly watching today's games at this point. Yep. Right now we're at number two and have a we think we're going to stay there.
Yeah. So again, I dove into it myself last night when we got home. And to me, it looks like, Roosevelt plays today and they play Lincoln. If they would happen to win that game, they can't jump us. And they're really the only threat to jump over us. And so I think it looks like we're going to lock in at number two. We can't catch Yankton. They had their big win last night with Tommy Moore, and they got another one today. So we can't jump them or catch them, so we'll probably lock in it too. Then you flip down, you look at the bottom of it, and Douglas is that spot right now. They play Yankton later this afternoon. Mitchell's sitting at 14. They're locked in. Probably at that spot, they can't catch Spearfish. even if Spearfish loses, I don't think. Maybe they have a game Monday, I think, so that could change. But I know if Douglas happens to upset Yankton, they jump over Mitchell. You know, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. So there's games going on today. And then the thing that throws it off, too, is Rapid City Central plays Monday. And if they happen to win that, that puts them at 500 on the year. So they're more points. And so every team they play,
well, everybody
points,
basically
everybody they play gets gets a few extra points, and so that, you know, that's the difference in some of these places being, you know, there's only a tenth of a point separation or 2/10 of a point. I think there's a lot of that in the girls' side of it right now. I mean, teams are so close; it's going to come down to those last games, and you're sitting around waiting. It won't be official. We'll probably have a fairly decent idea by the end of tonight, but it won't be official until Monday.
Well, just to put it into context, on Thursday, O'Gorman lost to Washington. Washington's a good team, but yet that dropped OG three spots.
Yeah, and that's, again, Yankton's up there, you know, a point or almost a full point and a half above us. So, but everybody else in that range, I mean, you're talking about less than a point between 8, 9, 10 teams, and that, it's, you know, there's a lot of basketball left today yet. There's, you know, Washington plays Aberdeen today. They're playing really, really well right now. That game has a lot of standings across, or a lot of impact on the rest of the standings as well. So, you know, and that's the fun part about the year. As a coach, I wish the state would say all games have to be done Saturday, so that, you know, you've got the weekend to kind of get ready and prepare. But that's unfortunately not how it is this year, and we're going to have to make sure we're ready, no matter who comes to here on next Saturday night. We got to make sure we're ready and focused and ready to go.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. You can say you're going to prepare for something, but really everything's on hold for pretty much 1 through 16, not just us.
Right, and yeah, everyone's in the same boat, you know, and it was no different last year. We didn't know till, you know, again, we had a pretty good idea of what was going to happen Saturday night, but it wasn't official, but we, you know, that's just how it goes, and you got to have guys like Coach Goffman and the other coaches that can crunch the numbers and do that kind of stuff and just give you a general idea of what you got coming up.
Well, just to wrap it up here then, I think that means weekend we can enjoy ESD. Monday, the focus is on SODAC 16.
Absolutely. You know, and these kids, like I said, you know, enjoy the night, spend the time with your families, all that stuff, and enjoy it.
Cause yeah, it was senior night. So.
Absolutely, it was senior night. There's a lot of people, a lot of family members around and loved ones and stuff like that. So enjoy it. You know, again, it's been 6 years since we were able to accomplish the ESD title. And so enjoy it. It doesn't come around all the time. But when we show up Monday, I mean, it's business as usual. We got to get ready to go.
Johnson County head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball 2020 ESD champions. Now they wait to see who will come to the Huron Arena next Saturday night in the SODAC 16. Here on Tiger Girls, coming up next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We move on here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk here on Tiger Girls Basketball with head coach Tim Budnagan. The girls put up 80 last night as they finish out the regular season with a win over Watertown and a 10-10 record. And kudos to the offensive coach, 80 points, coach.
Yeah, Coach Roselle and Coach Stobbs deserve all the credit because they're on the offense. And we gave up 50-some, so that wasn't so good. So we got to get to work on the defense. And so there's no offensive work this next week. It's going to be all defense.
Well, Well, even you go back to Tuesday, the Harrisburg win, you know, the program been looking for that signature win. We beat Harrisburg for the first time in over 5 years. First win over a ranked opponent, I'm thinking, probably going back to Tyann's senior year in 2011, although I don't know if we've ever really pinned that down for sure, but, you know, that... After I said it last night after the game, maybe the Yankton game a week ago was a bit of a blessing because the girls determined that's not us. We need to be better, and they showed it here the last two games.
Well, then from a coaching standpoint, we tried to do too much in the Yankton game, and we just really didn't have that focus that we needed to. So we got back to the basics on Monday and just said, well, we don't care how it looks, but we're going to play some man, and we're going to be a heck of a lot tougher, both mentally and physically on the floor, and then get some stops, and then that'll lead to some easy baskets on the other end. And once you can get a couple layups, then the basket starts to grow a little bit, and then the outside shots start to fall. So, you know, just a change in philosophy. We're trying to do too much with the zone, trying to take away people's inside, making them shoot from the outside, and now we're doing just as well, I think, man-to-man, putting a little bit of pressure, not pressing as much, taking care of our basket, making sure teams don't get easy looks, easy shots. It's been, you know, it's been good for us the last two games.
Well, I just think back, you know, all the coaches I talk to when we get set to play them, they talk about our three-point shooting, and yeah, we did hit threes last night, but they never so much account for attacking the basket. Now, Haven Hine, she's been doing that for a couple of years. She's fearless in there. She's good at... with the wiggle room, for lack of a better term. She draws contact. She gets the go. Tinley Budden-Hagan is starting to pick that up as well.
Yeah, you know, we got some girls that can attack the basket. Bella can attack. Tinley Haven. And then you throw in Heaven in there because she has a mismatch. She can rip and get to the rim as well. So you got those four girls that can get to the basket. Now you put them on the perimeter, and now they can hit a shot. You know, Heaven starts us out with a big three last night. We're hard to guard if we can spread the floor, if we can get girls to the rim. You bring in Alexis, and she has that opportunity now to shoot a three as well and spread the defense. So we're kind of getting it that, you know, we got to get to the rim first. Get a layup or two. Now they got to help. Now the outside Jay is open. And then, you know, now Brooks proved that she can hit a three, too. So she's one for two. She's one of our better three-point shooters right now.
I know you said that before the season started last year, Brooke can hit that outside shot. She, you know, it's kind of like Cooper Freigerberg with the boys. She has other things to do than sit out on the arc. She has to muscle underneath. She has to do those little things.
Well, Brooke's got to set a lot of ball screens, you know, and open up the penetration for us.
And when she sets a screen, it's set.
Yep, and she does a great job of that. And then she knows that she's got to sprint to the basket just in case her girl, you know, helps out. Then she's got an easy one. But, you know, Brooks really improved her shots coming around. We wanted to set her up just so that she could shoot the three, but she only got one shot that we designed, and then she took the second. So she's in a bit of trouble today.
I would imagine not a whole lot, but defensively, you had to be happy with things last night. Now, Watertown was missing the Hesh girl underneath, who is a very good post player. We don't know why, but I was told she was starting. But anyway, so Fannin, you knew what you were going to get there. She had 14 points in the first half, but then you hold her to 5 in the second half. I think Tenley started on her. Haven had her a lot of the game, and I felt we just kind of wore her down as the game went on.
Yeah, we didn't let her get to the middle as much the second half. And then we started switching all screens before we were trying to get through all the screens, and we just got stuck on a couple of them. And when you can shuffle a little bit and set that screen, we do the same thing. But it's tough to get on there if you don't switch, especially on a staggered screen. So we started switching that. We put Lexi on her as well. I think we have, you know, three quality defenders. Throw Heaven in there, and she can guard just about anybody as well. So we could wear some, you know, we're some good shooters out, good scorers out, with our defensive presence. And each one of those girls brings a little bit different, defensive style. So it's kind of nice to rotate those girls on her. But I thought, you know, Fannin was a big key, because if she gets hot, she gets going. You saw it last night. She's really tough because she's got that outside three. She can get to the rim. She's got a step back. I mean, she's got an array of, shots that she can throw at you. And a good player, but our girls stepped up and they helped each other out. And again, being good teammates, having each other's back, being in help position, I think that's helped us improve a lot the last couple of games.
So you finished the regular season 10-10, including a 6-4 home record. I remember last year I wound up by accident sitting in on the postseason interviews with all the girls, and I remember a few of the girls, you know, you asked each girl, what can we get to next year, and pretty much a consensus was we can get up to 10 wins, we can get up to a 500 record, and you know, there were a few valleys in there on the course of the way, but here we are, 10-10.
Yeah, you know, the month of January wasn't good for us. We, you know,
weren't at home either.
Right, we only won one game, and you know, December 3-1, and now we're 6-3 in the month of February. So hopefully, you know, those challenges in January just made us better. Whatever makes you uncomfortable changes you, and hopefully we're changing for the better right now. And give the girls a lot of credit. You know, they could have hung their head in January and say, let's pack it in and let's just play these last games out. But they came to work every day, and we've improved, and we're shooting the ball better, knock on wood. That's the key to our success. If we can get some easy shots and we can get to the rim, then we can be competitive.
So you sit here at 10-10, and right now, who and where is a huge, you just don't know right now.
No, any one of three teams, Aberdeen, Brandon, or Roosevelt. Aberdeen loses tonight, it looks like we'll get Roosevelt at home. If they win, then it's either Aberdeen or Brandon, whichever.
On the road.
On the road,
yeah.
Because they'll fall, you know, I don't think we can get to Brandon, and I know we can't get to Aberdeen if they win.
So basically, just like the boys here, the boys know they're going to be home, but other than that, you're just in a holding pattern. Sounds like you're going to do basically dissection on three teams and then be ready to go on one, hopefully by tonight. Well, you think you know tonight?
We think we do. You know, Sturgis and Central, if Sturgis would win, we'll get an extra 3 points because they'll get another win and move up a category. So I don't know how that figures in because Brandon hasn't played Sturgis. So they don't get those 3 points. We get them. I mean, it's just a mess. Like Coach Scouten said, if everything was done Saturday, now you have at least Sunday to, you know, get ready for your opponent and then give your kids a nice opportunity to compete in a game. But now you're sitting in limbo. But I'll watch Aberdeen and Roosevelt tonight. That's at least two of the teams that we think we're going to play. So at least we'll get a head start on that. And then after that Aberdeen game, then we'll pretty much have a solid base of who we're going to play. Not saying that that's the opponent for sure.
And the whole thing for people who don't know is Monday there's two games out in the Black Hills, both
right.
Girls and boys. You know, like last year, I think games went into Tuesday, but that was because of weather makeups, which you can't always do anything about. But this was regularly scheduled, so it is what it is.
Right, yeah. And if Rapid City Central obviously wins, there's no movement because there's no point change. But if Sturgis would upset them or beat them, now you get a point change, now we get three extra points, and now how does that affect you? So right now we're like 0.08 points away from Aberdeen. Now how do those 3 points affect us?
Isn't there a math teacher in your house?
Well, you know what, Coach Stobbs was in there the whole, I mean, he's got a whole bunch of, he did a great job, he's got every scenario down. But you know, Brandon Valley loses there at 40.05, and right now we're at 39.850, so I'm just going to let it calculate out. It's too much for me to think about. I just know it's one of three teams, and if I got to watch all three teams, so be it. I don't care, just so we're ready for Monday.
And again, just to wrap it up here, 10-10, 500 record, and you know the program is making steps in the right direction. Enjoy 10-10 for the weekend, and back to work on Monday.
Yeah, enjoy it for, you know, the girls can enjoy it till Monday. They deserve it. You know, they put in a lot of hard work the last two summers, and it's starting to pay off. And you know, we got a lot of younger girls that are on the team. And
hey, Isabel Elwine played some quality minutes.
Absolutely,
last night.
She did a great job last night. You know, and you know when people don't show up to play to begin with, you got to go to somebody else, and competition breeds success. And I think we got a lot of competition. We got a lot of good girls. Our younger teams, you know, won a lot of games this year. So hopefully we're trending upwards, and that competition is just going to make us better in the future. And it's big for us to have all those younger girls this year and prepare for that SODAC 16 game, just so they get the opportunity to prepare and what it's like in tournament time.
So here on Tiger Girls in limbo right now. They will play Friday, but who and where, that remains to be determined. Hopefully we'll know by tonight, certainly by Monday night. We'll take a final break here, come back, talk some Twins baseball to wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always...